Hello, everyone, and welcome to TAG Tech Start Live. I'm Larry Williams, President and CEO of TAG, and I'm pleased to bring you another edition of this week's podcast featuring our technology community's best and brightest leaders. This podcast is all about showcasing what makes Georgia the number one place to do business as a technology leading state, and it's about bringing to you the stories of how our technology community and our remarkable TAG members are coming together to help manage, solve, and cure this current public health crisis, and how, of course, we are all working together to get through it. I'm joined today by Mark McKee, President and COO of OnPay. Mark and his team make payroll, HR, and benefits easy, affordable, and error-free for accountants and small to mid-sized businesses in everyday industry. They, too, are learning how to help businesses navigate through the new virtual world and how we're all managing through this crisis. So, Mark, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you here. This is an important time and interesting times that we're all working in. So talk to us about how our business is navigating all of the things that we have to do. We got to keep the payroll going. We still have all of those basic operational things that we got to do to manage our businesses, small and large. So how are we doing here? And how are your clients doing?
Yeah, I think, it's payroll is a tricky topic in a good environment. And so I think now with COVID-19 and all the things related to it, people, our client base are taking advantage of the recent FFCRA Act, as well as the CARES Act, the Paycheck Protection Program, and some of the payroll tax credits that are available to small businesses right now, really starting right about now for the second quarter this year. So really, I think people are trying to learn about it. We've tried to be informative to our client base, be a source of good information for them as they work with their accountants or the accountants are working with their clients, the end user for OnPay. Really right now it's trying to get the information, condense it for them and see where it's relevant. And also real-time updating our product. We're a software company, so updating the software so that people can take advantage of these tax credits for the next 9 months as needed.
Well, let's talk about that. That's what's of top of mind, everybody, right? The Recovery Act, what does it mean? All the speculation. So what are you seeing and who's going to really benefit from it from your client point of view?
For our client base, as you mentioned, we work with small and medium sized businesses across 50 states in all industries. And I can tell you from our client base, the number one piece of kind of relief from the legislation is the Paycheck Protection Program. And so they can take an average monthly payroll cost times 2.5 and get a loan that a good portion of it should be forgiven for payroll. And it's really to help keep everybody employed, keep the economy going. That's the number one thing that most of our clients are looking to use and looking to their accountants.
And it does go beyond payroll, right, Mark? It also talks about some rent can be forgiven and other things qualify.
That's right. Rent, interest on a mortgage, as well as some utilities also qualify. So there's a lot there. At the front of the program, it's based on payroll costs. And then when they go to forgive it in 60 days following the funding of the loan, they do. You're exactly right. They take the rent, utilities, mortgage interest, some other costs to come up with that number for what's forgiven through the program.
That's significant for a small business.
Oh, yeah. I think if you had, taking $10,000 monthly payroll, you're talking about a $25,000 loan that applications can start this Friday, April 3rd through an SBA-approved lender. And if you go to sba.gov, there's a lot of resources there for small businesses. You can go to onpay.com. We've got a COVID-19 resource center with a lot of great information on how to take advantage of these programs. But if you get the loan, in the next few weeks, you really have 60 days to figure out, how the forgiveness amount will work. And really, it's meant so 80%+ of the loan is forgiven over this. So it's a really great program for small business to keep employees working and through this time.
Excellent. So tell me also, how are people managing through PTO, the other benefits that we've given? Has there been any changes there? Are people looking at moving on business as usual or thinking about changes?
Now, I think a lot of people are trying to do business as usual. It depends. It kind of breaks into two areas. If they've already have a PTO and paid sick leave policy, a lot of people are working with that. But a lot of companies don't have a paid sick leave policy. And so this is something new for them as they try to help their employees and the people working for them. And so under the Families First Act, FFCRA, there is a provision where if you pay for someone who's out directly, you know, suffering from coronavirus, as well as someone who's caring for someone who's ill with coronavirus, as well as if you're staying home, there's, as part of that, there's an expansion of FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act. And as part of that expansion, they can be paid to stay home with children if their daycare or school is shut down because of government policy. And also if someone's ill and they're at home helping care for that person. So it's been, there's a couple good programs for people who are either themselves directly ill or they're caring for someone who's affected by it.
So do you think this will have a long term impact on, there'd been a shift going from traditional PTO and sick leave to just a singular PTO, and even some saying, you know, unlimited leave, just very performance based. Do you think people are going to have to manage through that?
I think it's been interesting over the past 3 or 4 years, we've seen PTO policies already begin to shift. I think work from home has been a topic for the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years already. Obviously, it's very top of mind right now with everyone, but I do think we'll see a shift of how people are at least treating PTO. And if it's sick leave, and I think you will see people start to create this bucket of time, vacation, PTO, sick, whatever you want to use it for. I think we're, you know, and moving to that where it's just kind of one source. And like you said, very performance-based and almost moving off of, and tenure certainly be a part of it, but very traditional policies are very tenure-based, the longer you've been there, that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see moving forward how people approach this. I think that'll be one of the things that comes out of this period for sure.
Well, as you mentioned, you know, you're a technology company, and so we'll talk a little bit more about the technology in a minute, but how is this really, do you think, impacting the way people work, performance-based measurements, people who hadn't thought about certain policies, and it's forcing them to think about them. How is this, you know, one, how are people reacting, and so, you know, managing to it in real time, but then what are going to be the longer term effects of this? And what do you think some best practices are for people to be thinking about? Like, hey, if you're learning something, take this opportunity to, you know, take advantage of something now or review your policies now.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I think work from home has been a topic. I think it's been interesting. My learning through this is that everybody wants to work from home, but they don't want to have to work from home. And I think that's, people are feeling cooped up right now, and they're anxious to get back to the office. But I do think people are missing that social interaction and work from home. And I do think people are adjusting. I know ourselves, we were recently beginning to look for a large office space in Midtown. And now we're saying, well, should we go to maybe a more modest amount of space and continue to allow certain teams to work from home, come into the office, have flex spacing, you know, as teams rotate through the office, maybe one day a week and do different things. We have employees in San Francisco and New York as well. And so we have people remote, and some teams like to be in the office, but I can speak for ourselves that we're, Jesse Burgess, our founder and CEO, and I have been talking about how do we pivot here maybe and start looking at different type of setup and different policies. I'm really proud of our team for how they've worked through this. But I definitely think there's a long-term effect for people who are maybe on the fence about work from home. You know, being in Atlanta, we would refer to this previously as ice storm protocol. And if there's an ice storm or snowmageddon or something, we, you know, take your laptop and make sure that you can work from home for 2 or 3 days. Now it may be, you know, end up being 6 to 8 weeks. And who knows how long. So we're used to this. We've been able to work remote, of course, for a long time. We've had this ability. But I think it's really forcing us, and I think others are the same, it's really forcing us to examine our policies, how we want to work. I do think that overall workforce trends have been flexibility. We find that flexibility and kind of where and when the job is performed has been has been a focus for a while. And I think this is bringing it to the forefront. I also think that, you know, general workforce kind of trends along that line are people want to make a difference. And I think what we're really missing right now, I know our team is the social interaction and the ability to make a social impact. I think that's the other thing that as a tech company, we're in Atlanta, we're trying to do things that have a social impact. We recently said that you can have a day off, you know, to go volunteer with the community food bank or Trees Atlanta or something, and Habitat for Humanity, those types of things, is an opportunity to be together and build that sense of community. And I think that's the challenge now, is how do you still, everyone remote in their own location, but how do you continue to have that critical sense of community and purpose? And I think that's really the challenge here, is how do we feel like we're in it together, but doing that when you can't get in the same room on some basis.
Yeah, because there is that vibe. It's not just to talk to each other. It's the feeling, the energy in a room. Yeah, it is interesting. In Atlanta, you know, if a couple snowflakes fall or a little bit of ice, we're shut down. We're not like a lot of communities throughout the country that are prepared with ice, with salt trucks and everything else. So it doesn't take much. You're exactly right. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about the trends. What are you doing to try and keep that connectivity and that spirit of community engagement? Because there are a lot of things that people can engage in. We can still contribute to the food bank. I always like to talk about my friend Jack Griffin. Jack Griffin started Food Finder as a high school student up in Gwinnett
County. Oh, that's great.
And was one of our top 40 innovators. And it's all about connecting people with sources of food in a legitimate way. So there's still there's a high amount of need out there. So what are you doing to create the connectivity within your own team and then the connection to the community?
So within the team, I think we've used things like Zoom, Google Hangout, all the video conferencing tools. And so I think it's been important for us to have regular check-ins with everybody, just so that people don't feel like they're on an island. So we got to check in regularly. So we're having, this morning we started our day with everyone who's client-facing at OnPay. We jumped on a Google Hangout and talked about things that are top of mind, just even legislation under the CARES Act that we got more guidelines last night even. And so here's an update on what we need to be helping clients with today. Doing things like that. And I think there's also little things that we've been doing, like a virtual happy hour in the evenings, and just say, hey, we'll all hop on a Google Hangout and be together, and everybody's kids and dogs are running around in the background. And so I think that's really helped kind of allow people to feel like they're connected without being in the same room. I think as far as what people can do for volunteering, I think this is, I heard from a friend the other day who, you know, you can't physically go really anymore right now, at least, and volunteer some of these, but you can help with donations. Obviously, the other thing is he was doing tutoring over, you know, Zoom with some kids who needed some help. And he was doing tutoring and things that it's interesting to see what people have moved very, in-person physical processes have been moved onto Zoom and Google Hangout that you wouldn't have thought of before. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of innovation comes out of this period.
Yeah. So I know one of our team members, even with this team, he said, pick something up off a shelf in your room and tell us why it's important to you. So
that's a great idea.
Grab one of the photographs behind you and you tell us about it. And I think that's a great way to keep people connected. As we've done team meetings here, we've even seen that, it's almost a similar dynamic as the live room. The people that tend to be the more outspoken, raise their hand and contribute, are the same ones who talk. But there is an element of, I think it's camera shyness that's happening as well. So, but that's great that you're keeping people engaged. So let's talk about handbooks. Let's talk about the fun things that we deal with, and talking about handbooks in a virtual world and how that might be changing, and what people should be thinking about now.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, payroll is something that we realize is kind of like a transmission on your car. You don't think about it till there's a problem, right? And so we know that about payroll and some of these things, and no one goes to school for payroll. There's not a lot of 17-year-olds out there who are like, hey, one day I can be in payroll. You know, there's no it's something that affects all employers, all employees, but there's really no training programs for it. So it's interesting. So I think, you know, out of payroll comes things like handbooks. And, you know, at OnPay, we have a tool for clients. They can go in, they can download an employee template, and they can edit it to what they need, and they can pull that from the system and our software. I do think that handbooks are, you know, there's been a lot of changes recently with even, and you talk about employee onboarding, like an I-9 form, E-Verify, to do it compliantly. Those are usually in person, some kind of passport or driver's license, social security card. That's typical. Now, you know, quickly have adjusted to, you can still hire onboard someone during this period, but the first day you can be back in the office with them, you have a certain amount of time to actually do an in-person check on those documents. And so now it's all virtual, which, you know, even 2 or 3 weeks ago was not allowed in the system. So a lot of employee onboarding things have changed, and I think we'll probably move to a place where they remain virtual to do that, particularly if the workforce is going to be more work from home in the future. I think we'll see a lot of things that this really just prompted the government entities who control those types of things to change and become online functions. And so there's really no reason to go back from them. We'll see how it turns out.
Well, that's interesting because we're seeing that in the medical profession as well. Telemedicine being able to actually do the billings, insurance companies saying telemedicine is okay now. So in a way, this is helping us leapfrog because the technology's been there for a long time. It's been the policies and the compliance that has been the limiting factor. So you see this as a chance that we're going to accelerate the adoption of virtual policies and being able to maybe skip some steps moving forward?
I do. Even things as simple as like a paper check. You know, we're working remote right now, so our checks are locked safely away in the office. And so for our office in New York, they typically want a check, and I emailed them and said, if possible, I'd really like to pay you on time. And if I can get your ACH, make a direct payment to you information. They've been really resistant to that before. They wanted a paper check. And so they said, well, yeah, we'll start doing that now. You know, so it's like, it just needs the impetus to do this. So I think virtual policies, I think around workforce, like you said, around healthcare, a lot of things, I don't know why we'd go back if we can do this more productive and more efficiently as a society going forward. I think we'll see a lot of progress as people begin to pivot. I think particularly around fintech, a lot of these payments, you know, I think it's, I read an interesting article the other day about, you know, paper checks, paper money, but also credit cards. All this stuff can carry germs, right? And theoretically the virus. So people are saying it'd be great if everybody just could put their phone near something and not actually touch it. So as you see Apple Pay and all these kind of things, I think we'll see even more usage and more adoption.
So Mark, even though there might be some postponement, I think that we all have the benefit of not having to file our taxes until what, July 15th now?
That's right.
You know, but the filing still will go on. And I think you've got some particular expertise with helping companies, whether they be in a nonprofit or agriculture, and all of these things have their own cadence for filing. So how is that working? And what would the people in those industries want to hear about from you now?
Yeah, I think for OnPay, so for us, payroll is full service, full function. So we do all the filings, all the payments, and it's all done electronically. So if someone's using OnPay, no matter the industry, and there are different, if you're an agriculture company, there's different filings, like you said, different things. Those go on. The income tax filing, as you mentioned, is now July 15th, but today is the start of a second quarter. So we're working on first quarter filings and getting those into the IRS right now. So I think the beat goes on. We're fortunate to be in a spot where we can do this all remotely. But the IRS is continuing for the payroll tax forms. Those are all due as scheduled. So, and then they've made some breaks on the income tax side for sure.
Death and taxes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about your platform. You're a technology company. Been able to interact with you at TAG. So Tell us about the technology, what your thought was, the platform that you've built, and really how it's going to provide you with a great, the ability to really be able to deploy further and be able to pivot as this world's pivoting as well.
Yeah, I think, as we mentioned, we work with small and medium-sized businesses. And really, our main differentiator is why we're a software company now is that we were founded by a payroll person. Jesse Burgess, our founder and CEO, he worked for his grandfather's very traditional payroll company in Suwanee, Georgia. And so when he was working for his grandfather back in 2008, 2009, his grandfather did him a huge favor at the time and said, you're going to do what everybody else does here. And you're going to go, as John, his grandfather said, door knock. And so Jesse went out and put on a suit and tie and went out to a lot of the strip centers all up and down Metro Atlanta and knocked on the door and sold payroll services. And in the morning and evening, he'd work with John about how to manage the business and really learn payroll from someone who, John's a great guy, and he'd been doing payroll for three decades plus. So it was great. But what came out of that couple of years of talking to small business owners was that they wanted something online. They wanted something they could do from anywhere. They wanted a platform that still had all the functionality of a traditional payroll company, but in a slick cloud. I don't think in 2008 people used the word cloud, but they wanted something online, as they would tell them, something they could log in and do online. And so because we were founded by a payroll person, payroll expert, and now we do software, that's really been our biggest differentiator that we have such a robust, so we can service agriculture companies, we can do dental firms, we can do pretty much any company, we can do from 1 to 1,000 employees. It's why accountants like to use us, because they can put all their clients on the platform, because it will do, they'll have a bunch of clients, kind of 20 and fewer employees, and then two or three that have 1 or 200 employees, and they're in different states, different regulations. And so as we do become more remote, accountants and bookkeepers tend to have clients all over the country, whereas even 10 years ago, it's pretty regional and all be one or two states. So that has changed. And so our platform has allowed us to grow with that. We've been really fortunate in that way.
That's excellent. So look into your crystal ball. Tell me what the future of work from home work looks like.
Work from home. I think right now, I think there's a lot of people working from home that don't have it's not a 5 day a week thing. It's temporary in that way. And I think as it becomes not so temporary, that work from home option, I think you'll see people more with the tools, whether it's the work from home, the video conference, stuff. I think using platforms like ours, where they can do it from anywhere, they can use an iPad to do it on their couch in the evenings if they want to. And I think that's what you'll see is more people using their vendors to operate their business, cloud-based, where they can access their data from anywhere. And they don't really need a lot of things like paper checks and an office space. I think we'll still continue to use that stuff, of course, but I think it will definitely move to a place where everything is accessed from home, from a laptop and workstation.
What are you hearing from your clients about the challenges of management? From that, we said, moving to a performance-based model, it's not, how many hours you sit in a chair, it's the productivity. How are you helping people think through that?
I think, in talking to clients, it's like, how is that measured, right? And I think that's different for every company. I think that's where we're trying to do it. And also being available to everybody. I think it's, but again, using the Google Hangout and the Zoom and getting everybody together and just, I think the management techniques are similar, whether you're in the same room or you're in a Google Hangout or Zoom call. Being open and honest about what you're trying to work on, what needs to get done, setting expectations. I think a lot of kind of the key things for an organization don't really change whether you're work from home or you're in the same room together. And I think that trying to make sure that your priorities, how you're serving clients, and really the functionality and what you're giving to the client stays the same. I think that's the hardest part, is to not lose focus, not lose your true north and creating the company culture, which is really what makes the biggest difference. And that's where that sense of community comes in and is so critically important.
That's right. Any mistakes, any common mistakes that businesses should have, keep an eye out for? What should they avoid?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that the common mistakes when for our piece and what we focus on, I think it's, within payroll and HR, is just making sure it's compliant, making sure you're using a company that can help you, making sure you're crossing every T and dotting every I and going through it in the right way. And have whoever does your payroll, make sure it's in a compliant, easy way. You don't want a letter from the IRS in 6 months saying, here's what we're unhappy about. A nasty gram from the IRS is not something you want. So, doing it in the right way is always important.
So I'm hearing a few things from you. You agree that every company, small and medium-sized businesses, should be looking at the Recovery Act and seeing what applies and taking advantage of every opportunity that's in it?
That's really it. There's some things for over 500 employee count companies, but most are under 500. But the Paycheck Protection Program. Right? Yeah, that's a lot. Out of the 5.6 million employers in this country, 5.1 to 5.2 are 20 employees or fewer. And that's why it's so critically important. And that's, those companies should be looking at the Paycheck Protection Program and how to take advantage of that through the next 2 or 3 months of funding payroll and able to keep everybody at full employment is key. And that's really the centerpiece, in my opinion, of the CARES Act.
And Mark, doesn't it apply in some cases to 1099 employees?
It does. So if you're self-employed, if you're a gig worker, if you're a contractor, there's still opportunity for some of these tax credits, as well as the Paycheck Protection Program.
Okay. So take advantage of everything that's available to you, especially if it's free money. You want to go for that.
Yeah.
Or forgivable money. I'm hearing you very loud and clear. Stay compliant. Just because some of these timelines might be deferred, you still got to keep up with your paperwork, even if the money is the money part that's deferred, not the compliance part. Hearing you stay connected with your workforce. I'm going to bet that you would extend that advice to your customers. Stay connected with them as well. And so what other advice do you have for our membership and for the people listening about what they should be taking advantage of and what they should be doing in this time?
I think the one thing I'd add to it says stay connected to your client base, of course, and each other, but also stay connected to your vendors. I think this is a critical time. It's a hard time. It's a difficult time. It's something that we've never had to manage through before. Reach out. I mean, we've had our clients coming to us as the vendor saying, hey, what about this? What about that? And we've worked with them in every instance. And I think the more we know about the business, the more we can be helpful. We want to win for everyone, for these things. And so I think it's reach out to your vendors. So both clients and vendors, I would have an open communication with. Just tell them what's going on. I think I've always found that I appreciate it when people come to us and say, here's what's going on with our business. How can you help? And we usually have a solution for them that they were not aware of previously. Okay. They go, okay, that's great. And we'll work together and work it out. As the red light turns green again, if we can be helpful preparing for that and getting through it, that's really where good business relationships come from in times like these. So I'd say clients, each other, and vendors, open communication.
That's excellent. Those are great. That's great tips. Well, anything else you want to add? It's been delighted. I've enjoyed the conversation. Delighted to have you here. What else would you like to share? And then we'll wrap up.
No, we appreciate the opportunity to talk today. We enjoyed it as well. I think we're proud to be in Atlanta, and it's been a great city for us to grow and build the company in. We have a great technology community here and fintech community, and then of course payments as well. We've really benefited from being in a city with so much fintech and payment knowledge. It's really been an advantage for us to be here, and groups like TAG and the Tech Village and ATDC and all these great organizations here. It's a great community, and we're really proud to be part of it.
Well, we do have a great community here. Well, Mark, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us here today. Speaking of staying connected, we're doing an online happy hour tonight at 5:30. So I hope you and your team will log in, bring your favorite beverage, and you join us tonight for an hour or so, and so that we can stay connected as a tag community.
That's great.
Thanks to all of you for listening. We will be back soon with another edition of TAG Tech Start Live. On behalf of TAG, we look forward to continuing to serve our tech community as we weather through the COVID-19 together. So let's stay strong. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.